إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وتركها على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وما قل وكفى خير منا كثر وألهى، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، عباد الله، تتفيد وسائل من فضل الله، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حطاب عبد الله بن عباس his cousin a beautiful hadith about the reliance, about relying on Allah and trusting in Allah and depending on Allah and Allah alone. In that hadith that is reported authentically by Tirmidhi, Abdullah ibn Abbas is riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, O boy, let me teach you a few words. Ihfazillaha yahfazka, ihfazillaha tajidhu tujaha. Safeguard the religion of Allah and observe him that he may safeguard you. Safeguard the religion of Allah and observe him that you may find him in your times of hardship. إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. When you ask, only ask Allah, and when you seek help, only seek help from Allah. وعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليه. And know that if all mankind were to coordinate to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except with something that Allah had decreed against you. وعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. And know that if all mankind were to coordinate to benefit you, they cannot benefit you except with something that Allah had decreed for you. رفعت الأقلام وجفت السحر. The pens have been lifted and the scriptures have died. The pens have been lifted, meaning that there is no writing anymore, no inscription in the preserved tablet anymore. It's been all inscribed, the decrees have been all inscribed in the preserved tablet, so the pens have been lifted now and the scriptures are dry. Nothing will change. It's a hadith about reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and relying on Him. It's quite a strong hadith and quite a beautiful one. Usually the scholars start to teach it to children in the early ages because this is a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught a child. And it is also important to teach the children because this is one of the first things that you want to instill in their heart. This is one of the first things you want to instill in their heart. You want it to be deeply established in the heart that it is only Allah who is capable of harming and benefiting. It is only Allah that you can rely on and you can depend on. It is only Allah that you must have the absolute fear from and the absolute hope in. And that's why it's something that we have to teach our children over and over and over until this concept is well established in their heart. And you do not only teach it by words, but you have to teach it by example, you have to teach it by action, You have to teach by showing them that you do actually rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on Him alone. There are many benefits. I will not go into the details of the creed of predestination itself, because you must know that predestination is one of the six pillars of belief. As Muslims, we all know that there are six pillars for action, and there are six pillars for belief. And the six pillars for belief would be to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the final day, and predestination. The final day and predestination. Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the final day, and predestination. Predestination is important for one's belief to the point where Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Al-Qadr Nizam Al-Aqeedah. Al-Iman Bil-Qadr, the belief in predestination, is the thread that connects all the pearls of the Aqeedah. It's like the thread that connects all the pearls of Aqeedah. Without this thread, which is the belief in predestination, then the Aqeedah will be in disarray. There will be disruption of your Aqeedah, and your Aqeedah will be in disarray. And the thread that will connect it all together, and that will give you the right Aqeedah, is the belief in predestination. Why is it so? Because the belief in predestination does entail the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're believing that it is Allah who decreed all matters before they are brought to existence. You know, the degrees of predestination that we believe in as Muslims of Al-Sunnah include four stages, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything before it happened. He wrote it down, He inscribed it in the preserved tablet, He willed it, He permits it to take place, He wills it, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings it to existence. Allah is the one who brings it to existence. So this would include that you, this will entail that you have belief in Allah, you have belief in Allah as one, because you rely only on Allah. You have belief that Allah is omnipotent, that Allah is absolute in His attributes, because to believe that He knew everything before it happened, and He wrote it down, and He decrees it, and He is the one who brings it to existence, it means that you're believing that He is the omnipotent being, and the only omnipotent being, and Him alone. And there is no one that's omnipotent but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it entails many of the beliefs that are essential for us Muslims, many of the beliefs that are essential for our faith, for our certainty as Muslims. It is quite an important thing to learn more about Al-Qadr and to learn more about the belief in Al-Qadr, but what I wanted to shed more light on today, particularly, is the benefit of this belief in predestination. When you believe in predestination, the first benefit of belief in predestination is that your hearts will be together, your hearts will have one direction, your hearts will have one objective, your hearts will have one purpose, one goal, your hearts will have one deity to worship. You know, in the dualism or in the dualistic theology, you have the force of evil and the force of good, the force of light and the force of darkness. And these dualistic theologies are not only restricted to one religion. Most of the Eastern philosophies or so-called religions are dualistic in nature. They believe in two forces, a force of good and a force of evil. Now, if you have a dualistic belief, this will tear your heart apart. Your hearts will never be together. Your hearts will never be seeking one deity. And that could be extremely harmful for the heart, to seek two different deities. In fact, most of these philosophies do confirm that the force of good is higher than the force of evil. But they still give the force of evil some absolute powers. Or they may claim that the good force, lets the force of evil manage this universe in certain areas at certain times at its own discretion without being controlled by the force of good. And this will make you turn to the force of evil sometimes out of fear that it may harm you, and turn to the force of good for sometimes to seek protection in that force or in that deity. That is completely destroying to the heart, and that's completely contradictory to what Islam is about, which is the unity of God, the oneness of God, monotheism, one God, and one God that is omnipotent, and He is in complete control, in complete control. So Allah created this universe, and Allah manages the affairs of this universe. He has not given power of attorney to anyone, any being, any prophet, any angel, anything in this universe. Allah does not need people to act on His behalf, or creation to act on His behalf, and He has not given any being the power of attorney. He manages the affairs of this universe. He manages all the affairs of this universe. That is the meaning of Rabb. Rabb is the one who does not only create, but He also manages the affairs of the universe. So the first benefit is that your heart will be together, worshipping one deity, seeking one deity, fearing from one God, and having hope in this one God, and ultimately and before all, loving this one God. Second benefit is to have courage, To have courage to speak the truth and to strive for justice. People who have belief in predestination are people who do not fear from seeking the truth, and striving for justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about His companions, about the companions of His Prophet, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Those to whom people have said, the people have gathered forces against you. So it only increased them in faith. So fear from them. The people said to them, fear from the people because we have gathered forces against you. So it only increased them, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in faith. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And they said, Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the controller. He is the disposer. He is the manager of all affairs. So that is the belief that will give you courage to speak the truth and to strive for justice. You have to repeat this so many times. You have to repeat it until you believe it. You have to repeat it in words and in action until you believe it. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs. And He is the manager of all affairs. And He is the controller of all affairs. And you repeat it in action, and then it will develop. This aqeedah develops in your heart. People are not equal in their iman. The iman of Abu Bakr is not like the iman of one of us. The iman of Abu Bakr is not like the iman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are degrees and there are grades of iman. So you need to develop this part of iman in your heart, which is the reliance on Allah and the trust in Allah and in Him alone. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That will make us speak the truth, as we said, and strive for justice. At the same time, that will make us balanced. If we truly rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will make us balanced in many of our actions. May our actions will be guided by the revelation, will be guided by that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going to be making up our own calculations. We're not going to be making up our own ideologies, but we will be following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the revelation. Let me give you an example. The issue of the unity of this ummah, the unity of this ummah and this unity and so on, and what should we do regarding or concerning reconciling between the different factions and the different sects and the different groups and the different individuals of this ummah. There are two extremes in this regard. There is the extreme of those people who want to divide the ummah on basis of where you put your hands when you pray, and there is the other extreme who wants to unite the ummah, to unite the ummah at the expense of destroying the religion itself, the creed itself, the belief itself. What is the worth of the ummah if it lost the religion, if it lost the creed, if it changes, interpolated into the religion, or it changed the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are stronger and more populous nations that exist nowadays. They changed the word of God, they interpolated in their books, and they manipulated their scriptures. What is the worth of the Ummah of Islam if it did this for the sake of unity? Unity should never be at the expense of compromising the tenets of this religion, the foundations of this creed and this belief. Therefore, when we have to also remember, and this is extremely important in this regard, that this unity was not the first thing that defeated the Muslims. When were the Muslims defeated the first time? In the Battle of Uhud. That was the first defeat for the Muslims. Why were they defeated in Uhud? Because of this obedience, not this unity. In Uhud, the Muslims were united. There were no factions, there were no sects. They were under the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, so there was no way that there would be factions and sects and groups and, you know, different individuals and different schools and so on, or ideologies. They were united. Yet they were defeated in Uhud because of disobedience. When were they defeated the second time, even though it was transiently? It was transient. In Hunayn. In Hunayn. What defeated them in Hunayn? It is the pride. It is the conceit. It is when they felt good about their numbers being 12,000 soldiers or fighters. When they felt good about the numbers and did not rely on Allah as the sole source of victory, as the sole source of support, and they felt to some extent, and certainly these were companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never put the lines on Allah at any moment, but just the fact that they had some conceit because of their numbers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them by a transient defeat at the beginning of the battle of Hunayn. So it was not, you know, the first time it was not disunity but rather disobedience, and the second time it was conceit because of the numbers. So the numbers are not the issue. You know, uniting the ummah is a sought after objective. Is a sought after objective. We do seek to unite the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. This nation of yours is one nation, and I am your Lord, to worship me alone. So we do want to unite the ummah, and we do seek unity, but it should never be at the expense of the religion, because this ummah is about this religion. And without this religion, what is this ummah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَعَظَّمَ بِهَذَا الدِّينِ فَمَهْمَ بِتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةِ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَجَلَّنَ اللَّهِ. Umar رضوان الله عليه, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Allah dignified us. Allah gave us dignity with this religion. So whenever we seek dignity outside of it or away from it, Allah will indignify us. Allah will indignify us. So it is not our numbers, it is not our wealth, it's not our power. It is this religion that makes this ummah. It is the fact that this is an ummah that worships one God, that turns to one man for guidance, conveying the conveying the message of God, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an ummah that has one book. It is an ummah that has one sunnah, which is the sunnah of the Prophet and Messenger of God. May Allah bless him and give him peace. So that is what this ummah is about. And whenever it compromises those tenets, then there is no good in the ummah without those tenets, without those foundations, without this religion. So we have to be balanced. We have to be balanced. We will not divide the ummah because of this agreement over details. We will advise one another. We can talk to one another. We can advise one another. I can tell you, I have read this in a book. Check it out in that book, or go and review it, or go and ask about it. I think that this way is more correct than the way you're doing this, in a nice and gentle way, and very kind way, in privacy, after you have gotten to know the person for some time, and there's a mutual trust between the two of you, and so on and so forth. Yes, we can do this, but we will not divide the ummah and tear up the ummah based on the disagreement on some details in fiqh or so on. Yes, there are foundations for this creed. There are tenets for the faith of ours. One of them is the finality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final messenger and the final prophet. There should be no compromise, zero tolerance for any gesture that would compromise this fact, this fundamental, this basic principle in our religion, which is the finality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last conveyor from God. The Sahaba radiallahu alayhim, they are the conveyors from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. Listen to what Imam Abu Zara'a said about the people who demean this praise or discredit the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim. He said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا يَنْتَقِسُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ زِنْتِيرٌ وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ حَقٌّ وَلِأَنَّ الرَّسُولَ حَقٌّ ولأن ما جاء به حق وإن هؤلاء شهودنا على القرآن والسنة وهم يريدون أن يطعنوا في شهودنا حتى يبطلوا الكتاب والسنة والطعن بهم أولى أو قال والجرح بهم أولى وهم زنادقة وهم زنادقة. If you see someone belittling or demeaning or disgracing, discrediting one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, know that he is heretic, because the Quran is true and the Messenger is true and what he conveys to us is true, and those are our witnesses. Those are the conveyors. Those are the ones who told us that this is what the Messenger has said. Those are the ones who convey to us the Quran, who convey to us the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those people who dispraise them or discredit them, they want to demean and discredit our witnesses on the Quran and the Sunnah, to invalidate the Quran and the Sunnah, and they are more deserving of this praise, and they are heretics. And they are more deserving of this praise, and they are heretics. So any attempt to demean the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, to discredit the companions of the Prophet, is an assault on the deen itself, on the Quran and the Sunnah, because they are the ones who convey the Quran and Sunnah to us. So this is a matter that should not be open for compromise. This is not like someone putting his hands up here and someone putting his hands down here while they're praying. This is a different story. This is an assault, a direct assault on the religion in entirety, on the principles of the religion, the foundations of the religion. You have to sort out these things, and you have to understand the difference between this and that. This is a disagreement on minor details. What if you did not put your hands, I believe that putting your hands on your chest is preferable. But what if you did not put your hands anywhere? Your salah will be valid according to the consensus of the scholars. The consensus. Because putting your hands up here, or down here, or down below is a sunnah by consensus. It is a sunnah by consensus. So the issue here is, yes, we do. we do talk to each other, we do advise each other, and we do say that this seems to be the most perfect way, and this seems to be the most authentic way, in a kind and gentle way, but we have to give each one of those acts or those beliefs its due measure, the due measure, the due priority of each and every one. But when it comes to the companions of the Prophet and their position in the deen, there should be no compromise whatsoever. How can we unite the Ummah at the expense of discrediting Abu Bakr or Umar, or discrediting one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ? Those are the people through which Allah gave victory to this Ummah. The love of Abu Bakr and Umar and the companions, and Uthman and Ali and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, is an integral part of our faith. These are the disciples of the greatest teacher and messenger. These are the students of the greatest teacher and messenger. And it is an integral part of our faith to love them, to respect them, to honor them, and to put them above all others. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. Alhamdulillah, wa salamu wa salamu ala ibadhi ladhi nasfata wa ba'd. So in summary, to briefly summarize, the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us courage to say the truth and to stand for justice and strive for justice and to be balanced and to only seek Allah for victory and support and to have no conceit about our numbers and to have no other deity in our heart, no other thing, not necessarily a deity in the classical meaning, but no other thing in our hearts that we seek anything from but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your brothers want me to remind you that there will be a lot of educational activities carried out in this masjid. The reason why I'm saying it during the khutbah is the fact that many leave afterwards, rather quickly. There will be Islam 101, and I do encourage you to come and learn the religion. It is quite important to increase our faith and increase our certainty so that we can stand up to all suspicions and to all assaults on the religion. Islam 101 will be conducted Sunday, July 29th at 11 a.m. It's an 8-week class. The Islamic University of Minnesota is having a fundraiser on August 5th, inshallah, and the full registration had already started. They wanted you also to make use of the library. The masjid spends a lot of money on this library. I'm a witness, and it should not be left abandoned. You should make use of the library downstairs, inshallah. The membership is $20 per year, and this is going to the masjid. This is not a transaction that is forbidden inside the masjid. This is going to the masjid itself. It's a $20 yearly membership, $99 for your life. It's a lifetime membership of $99 in the library. The Quran Tajweed class will be starting inshallah on Friday, July 27th. It's a Quran Tajweed class. Starting Friday, July 27th at 7 p.m. and it will be on weekly basis. Inshallah, you know, try to take part in one or two or some of these activities or all of them if you can, and contact the brothers who will be outside inshallah for further details. اللهم ارنا حق حقنا وارزقنا اتباعه وانا وباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا ربنا ات نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها انت وليها ومولاها واقم الصلاه ان الصلاه تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.